I could have done more of that, couldn't you? Praise God. So thankful to be gathered back with you. I invite you this morning, please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We'll start our reading in verse 27. But Genesis chapter 1. This week, when I was doing sermon preparation, I had planned to steer my preaching in a certain direction, and then God just began to work in my heart, and he led me in a totally different way. Like many of you, my heart is heavy this morning in light of all of the things that have taken place in our country over the past weeks. You're aware of it. You have read about it. You've probably watched it. You've seen the video that shows the death of Mr. George Floyd, a 46-year-old American man who was taken into police custody in Minneapolis, and he died shortly thereafter. So much has happened as a result of Mr. Floyd's death since that time. All four officers who were a part of his detention have been fired. The officer, a white officer who knelt on Mr. Floyd's neck with his knee for almost 9 minutes, has been charged with second-degree murder. The other three officers are facing charges of aiding and abetting murder. The FBI has launched an official investigation into Mr. Floyd's death. People have taken to social media to express their outrage over what they saw and over what happened. Peaceful protests have sprung up all across our country, while others have used this in a sinful way to hijack Mr. Floyd's death, to vandalize, to loot, to assault, and even to kill others. What happened to Mr. Floyd was sickening. It was tragic. The officers' actions, they were negligent, they were excessive, they were abusive, they were appalling. We should all grieve that a man's life was unnecessarily taken from him. If the situation would have been handled differently, Mr. Floyd would still be with us today. Considering Mr. Floyd's death and all that has taken place and the outrage over it, what do we do? My answer to that question this morning is that we desperately need to turn to the Word of God. And we need to hear the message that God has for us concerning all men and the implications of that message for racial injustice. Now, let me make clear this morning, I'm not claiming that anyone here at Lakeland Baptist Church is a racist. I'm not a racist, and I don't like to be labeled a racist. But we have to admit that racism does exist. And we need to be a people as salt and light in this world, as followers of Jesus Christ, who know what the Word of God teaches us about all men so that we can speak a message into a world where there is racism. And the Bible teaches us this morning, I want to submit to you three fundamental truths about all men, which denounces any kind of racist attitude or racist action towards another human being. I want us to pray, and then we're going to start our study in the book of Genesis. Would you please bow with me? Father, it is such a joy to be able to gather back together as your church. God, we need you. God, we need this. We need the gathering together. We are the church of Jesus Christ, a local body, an expression of your body. And we are asking that you will be with us and that you will use your word this morning to speak truth into our hearts and into our lives, God, concerning what you teach us about all men. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Bible in Genesis chapter 1 begins with this fundamental truth about all men. And that first fundamental truth is that all men are created by the same God. All men are created by the same God. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And in the book of beginnings, we see in chapter 1, verse 1, that the Bible tells us there is one true God who has created all things that exist. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This one true God, He created time in the beginning. He created space, the heavens, and He created all matter, the earth. And Genesis chapter 1, going over into chapter 2, shows us the details of all that God did in creating this earth and all things on this earth. The Bible tells us that God is responsible for creating all inanimate things and objects. And God is responsible for creating all living things, all plant life, all animal life. And then is the masterpiece, the apex of His creative work. The Bible tells us that God created humanity. Look with me in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "Then God said, let us," and note the plurality here. Even in Genesis, we see a hint here at the plurality in the Godhead of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Then look in verse 27. "God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Genesis is very clear. This text leaves us without any question that human life stands distinct from all other life on planet Earth. Mankind did not evolve from some lower life form. Mankind did not just spontaneously appear. No, man is a direct special creation of one creator, God. That God created mankind in His likeness and in His image to be like Him, to represent Him in various relational, moral, spiritual, mental, and physical aspects. Thus, because there's one Creator God who made mankind, all men bear the image of the one true God. Men are not like trucks. You know, you could have a Ford truck, have a Chevy truck, have a Dodge truck, have a Toyota truck, and all other kinds of trucks. And you and I can enter into some kind of a healthy dialogue as to which kind of truck is better than the other. For example, you can argue with me that a Chevy truck is better than a Ford truck, which I've driven for the last 25 years of my life, and I will let you be wrong if you want to, and I'll still love you. And we can argue whether one truck's better than another truck. Do you know why? Because there are different makers of those trucks. But we cannot enter into a discussion about whether this human being is better than that human being. Why? Because we all have one maker. And that maker is the one true God of the Scriptures. No man's value resides in the color of his skin, but every man's value, dignity, and worth resides in his Creator in heaven above. You see, so precious is the image of God. I want you to jump over to Genesis chapter 9. That when we get several generations removed from the time of Adam and Eve, post-flood, after God has destroyed this world because of man's wickedness and evil, and He restarts with Noah and his family, this is what God institutes with Noah in a new covenant. Look in verse 6 of chapter 9. "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." Now listen to the reasoning. "For in the image of God He made man." When God starts the human race over with Noah and his family, He takes Noah all the way back to the first human beings, all the way back to His original creative work, and He grounds the value of that present generation moving forward based upon what He did in the beginning. There is such a premium, such a sanctity, such a specialness to human life that God here institutes the death penalty. When someone takes another person's innocent life, when they commit murder, God shows His wrath from heaven above against the destruction of an image bearer by claiming that that person, as we see in the New Testament through governments, is worthy to be put to death because he destroyed and assaulted the image of God. I want you to look around this morning. Please look around. If you're in the balcony, look around you. Look around at every person
in this auditorium this morning. Just as you were created in the image of God in the womb of your mother, God did the same very special creative work in the womb of all of their mothers to create them. We're all image bearers this morning. He's created us all to represent Him, to be like Him, and to know Him. Seeing that we all have the same Creator God. Do you see how absurd it is to be racist? How absurd it is to prejudice one person against another based upon where they're from, what they look like, or the a level of melatonin in their body that makes their skin either lighter or darker. We have one true God. And because we're all created by the same God, that means we're all created equal. See, that first truth, all men are created by the same God. So we are all equal. The Bible moves on in Genesis chapter 1, going into verse 28. And I think this is a truth that sometimes we don't think about when it comes to the issue of racial injustice. Not only are all men created by the same God, but all men are related by the same parents. All men are related by the same parents. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we see that God creates the first two human beings, Adam and Eve, and then they come together as husband and wife. And then they engage in sexual intimacy, and they're obedient to do what God commands. Look in verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." God gives Adam and Eve this command that you're to come together and you have this responsibility to fill this earth. You are to populate this earth. And Adam and Eve began to do that very thing. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, we see the same truth taught. Paul says, "And he, God, made from one man, from the seed of Adam, every nation of mankind that dwells upon the face of the earth." That was Paul's theology. From the seed of Adam, every person that's come into this world has come from him. And I want you to look at what Adam says about his wife Eve. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Adam says this, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve." And note what he says about her, "because she was the mother of all living." Adam understood that every person that would come into this world would ultimately come from his wife. She would be the mother of all living. Now back on January 30th, 1979, God blessed my parents, Donald and Kathy Schmidt, with their first son, Donald Lee Schmidt Jr. I'm a junior named after my dad. Then 18 months later, God blessed my parents with a second son, Jonathan Richard Schmidt, born June 2nd, 1980. Now, by virtue of us having the same parents, do you know what that made me and my brother? Well, I just gave you the answer. That made me and Jonathan brothers. And now, listen, though we were brothers, we didn't always get along. We didn't always have the same points of view. There were days where we were at our best towards one another, and then some days we were at our worst towards one another. But do you know what? Because we were brothers, because we had that kinship, we loved each other. We wanted to honor each other. We served each other. We supported one another. There was that specialness because we were family. Now, I'm about to say something that's going to blow some of your minds in here. Every human being that lives in every country that is of any color in this world, do you know what? They all go back to a sailor named Noah, and then we can go generations even further back to a farmer and his wife named Adam and Eve. And by virtue of all people having those same two parents in common, do you know what that makes us all? Brothers and sisters. It's true that we could say we're not brothers and sisters spiritually. That's a whole other topic theologically in the scriptures. But physically, in a creative sense, we all share that same physical lineage. When God made Adam and Eve, in his creative brilliance, he created a man and a woman who could come together and produce such physical diversity among all the population in this world. so that we could actually descend from them and we could have different hair colors and textures, skin colors, that we could have a different physical statures and looks. But all of that was a part of God's creative design, taking us all the way back to Adam and Eve. Biblically speaking, all men of all nations, we comprise one family. And we actually comprise one race, the human race. We're the ones that have socially constructed it so that we describe ourselves as different races. But when you go back to the beginning, we all descend from the same parents, and we're family. The next time you're around somebody and they make a racist comment, whether they're a friend or a prejudicial comment or they're a family member, you take them back to Scripture and say, hey, you know, when you say that, you're actually talking about a family member. When they say, what are you talking about when I'm talking about a family member? Well, then you take them to Scripture and say, well, you know, we all actually have the same parents and we all actually have the same God, so you're actually cutting down, you're mistreating, you're belittling someone that's actually connected to you and related to you. That's absurd for us to have any kind of racist attitudes or thoughts when we think about the truth that we're all related by the same parents. We're all created by the same God. And then last of all this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In this passage, Peter is speaking, and he makes this just phenomenal statement concerning Jesus Christ and the message he preaches. And this is what he says about Jesus in verse 12 of chapter 4. He says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given, and I want you to look at the next phrase, among men, among mankind, among all people, by which we must be saved. Do you know what Peter's telling us? All men are saved by the same gospel. All men were saved by the same gospel. We all have this fundamental problem, the Bible tells us, and it's not a physical problem, it's a spiritual problem. It's not an external issue, it's an internal issue. Adam and Eve, they gave us all of our different looks, but they also gave us something else. They disobeyed God in the beginning. This is what we call the fall of man, Genesis chapter 3. And as a result of their disobedience, sin entered into their hearts, sin entered into our world, and they've passed down to all men. No matter what we look like, where we come from, we all go back to them, and they've passed down to us a sinful nature. And this sinful nature causes us to act out in rebellion against God. We all sin and come short of His glory, Romans 3:23. And the consequence of being sinners, The consequence of rebelling against our holy Creator, is that we stand condemned before Him. On that day when God judges mankind, the Bible tells us what we rightly deserve because we've sinned against Him is eternal separation from Him. We can't enter into His presence in heaven, but also eternal separation where there's punishment for all the wrongdoings that we have committed. But God, being rich in mercy and in grace, with the great love with which He loved us, He put a rescue plan in place, and He sent a rescuer, a Savior, into this world. And that Savior was His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came into this world. He was fully God, and He became a man. And I'll add this morning, He didn't become a white Caucasian man. He didn't become an African man. He became a brown-skinned Jew. He was a brown-skinned Jewish Messiah who lived a perfect life in your place, my place, the place of all men. And He stretched out His arms on a cross as God the Father in heaven poured out His wrath on Him for all the sins that we've ever committed. And as He was the perfect one suffering in our place, there came a point where He breathed His last and God the Father said, that's enough. He has suffered the hell on the cross that all humanity should suffer. He died, was put into the grave, and on the third day, God the Father raised Him up with power, and He's now the one who has power over sin, death, and Satan, and He offers to any man life, forgiveness, restoration, abundant and eternal life if we will repent of our sins and trust in Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 tells us Jesus did not taste death for some men, for a group of men, but he tasted death for everyone. The promise of Scripture is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10, 13, that God will save them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him, whosoever, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Since we are all saved by this same gospel, do you see how absurd racism is, how absurd discrimination is, how absurd prejudice is? The same condemned sinner who is making a judgment against another man or another woman or another child because of the way they look, because of the color of their skin, is showing partiality and hatred, because that's what racism really is. It's hatred in the heart towards another person. They're showing partiality and hatred towards someone that Jesus showed impartiality towards and love towards, because the same blood that was shed for that person was also shed for all men. See, when you think about the gospel message, there cannot be racism in the human heart if you receive Christ, because the Bible tells us that we're not acting like Jesus or following Jesus, because when we get saved, we are to take on the mindset and the attitude of Christ Jesus. He loves all people, and he calls us to love others as well. All men are created by the same God. We're related by the same parents, and we're saved by the same gospel. When we let these truths sink into our hearts and we align our hearts with these truths, we have a message that we can share in a world where racism does exist. And we can help people see God's perspective and God's truth on this subject. So in our time remaining, what do we do with this? I want to give you a few action steps to think through as a family, as individuals, something that you can do to put this truth into action in your own life. Number one, let us speak out clearly and strongly against racism in every form. Let us speak out clearly and strongly against racism in every form. Let's don't deny it. Does racism exist? Yes. Are all white people racist or all black people racist? No, absolutely not. I don't want to be lumped into that, and I don't think you want to be lumped into that. But we need to admit that it does exist. Just recently, I had a pastor friend in North Carolina call me, and he was talking through a situation with me, and he wanted to know what I thought he should do. He wanted to hire a student pastor. He took it before the deacons, and he said, hey, this is who I want to hire. What do we need to do to go about making this happen? The deacon spoke up and they said, well, that's not going to happen. You see, you can't hire him. He said, what do you mean? Why can't I hire him? He's available. This is who I want to bring on as our student pastor. They said, you can't hire him because you know he won't be accepted in our church. He won't be received well. See, he was a black gentleman. Black youth pastor, predominantly white church. Deacon said, you're not hiring him because our people won't accept him. Does that happen? Yes, it happens. That just recently happened to a friend. He said, Donald, what do you recommend I do? I said, I recommend you start looking for another church. You need to get to another church. Start putting your resume out there. You need to get out of that church. You see, there is racial injustice, and where we see it, where we hear about it, Christians need to fulfill their God-given assignment to be light and salt in a dark world. Use this time to educate your children about what's going on. Melody and I, we've been gathering Titus and Truett together. We've been going through the scriptures, and we've been telling them this is what's going on in the world at on a level that a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old can understand. And then we've been teaching them this is what the Bible says. This is God's truth in handling this matter. So educate your children. Call out your friends when they make these kind of comments or they act in this way through attitude or actions. Let them know the truth of God's word. Minister to those who have been victimized. When you come across people who have had these kinds of episodes of mistreatment and abuse, misjudgment, help them. Come along and show them the love of Christ. Let us speak with a unified message that racism is a sin against God and it's a sin against others, and that we won't stand for it. So let us speak out clearly and strongly against racism in every form. Number two, let us talk with our sisters and brothers of a different color. All of us should be willing to get together with people who don't look like us, don't necessarily talk like us, and we need to start some dialogues. Just this past week, I called a good friend of mine. I've known him for 12 years or so. He's about 70 years old. He's about 30 years older than I am, and we have just the best of relationship, and he's a black African-American man. He and I just have a friendship where once we leave off on the phone, we can pick right back up. It's like there's been no separation between us. So I called him, and I said, hey, I just want to check on you, buddy, see how you're processing everything that's going on right now. Tell me your thoughts. And so it was a helpful dialogue just to hear things from his perspective. What we need to do is we need to come together with people of a different color and just ask some honest questions, be willing to get uncomfortable and try to hear things from their perspective and let them hear things from our perspective so that we can better understand, sympathize, serve, and support one another. So let's speak out clearly and strongly against racism in every form. Let's talk with our brothers and sisters of a different color. Number three, let's support honorable police officers. Every time something like this happens in our country, I'm torn because I'm a pastor who loves all people and I want to see all people reached with the gospel of message of Jesus Christ because we're all made for eternity and we're going to spend eternity somewhere. So I want to get that message to as many people as I can before I die. But I'm also on the other side because I have a brother who was a police officer who served faithfully in our hometown and he went out to work one night and he didn't come back home. The person that he pulled over, who was a suspect, who was wanted for a crime, when he asked him to get out of the car, he was met with a first fire to his face. And before the episode was over, he was shot twice in the face, four times total. My brother bled out before any of us had a chance to say, we love you, goodbye. He was gone. And so I wrestle with this. Listen, just as I don't want to be lumped in with those people who are racist in heart, and you don't want to either. The good cops don't want to be lumped in with those who dishonor the badge and those who do not respect the power that's been given to them. And so we need them. They have a necessary service they provide us in our community. I'm thankful for all the police officers in our church that serve us faithfully. They need to know we support them. We need to pray for them because it is true. Some of them go to work and they don't know if they're going to come back that day. They don't know what they're going to meet when they're out doing their jobs. So we need to honor them and pray for those, our police officers. Number four, and I don't have to spend much time here, we need to repent of any racist sins in our hearts. If you're looking back and you're asking God, search me, O God, and show me if ever based upon color, if ever based upon somebody's background, I've treated someone differently, and the Spirit of God brings that to your mind, repent of that. Ask for forgiveness, and anytime something rises up in your heart that would be close to that, take it to Jesus in prayer. Ask God to forgive you of that and to help you to live in a way that would honor Him in your attitude and actions, to love others rather than to be prejudiced in heart. Number five, let us pray to God to bring healing and change to our country. Only a movement of God can help us. We are a nation divided politically. We are a nation divided in the minds of many racially. But I'm grateful that only a movement of God can bring us together. When we pray, God does move. And what we all need to be doing is praying. And then last of all, let us share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a good word this morning. No man needs a color change, but every man needs a heart change. The problem is not a person's skin color. The problem, Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 7, is a wicked, vile heart from which evil thoughts come and murders come. That's the problem. And if you're tired of the way people are treating each other in our country, because God knows I am, and the thing I look forward to most, as others have said about heaven, is there will no longer be any sin. If you're tired of all of this, then let's do what Jesus has called us to do. Let's take the gospel to a lost world. Those people God bring us into contact with, if you want to see their hearts start changing towards others, then share the news about a brown-skinned Jewish Messiah who stepped down out of heaven, came into this world, and was willing to die on the cross for our sins. And when we share that message, the Holy Spirit will take it. He will grip people's hearts. Eyes will be opened. Sins will be repented. And He'll take old men and make them new.
He will change people's hearts. Let's take the gospel to Louisville, to Flower Mound, to all of our communities, to our state, and to our world. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ has got to rise up and start doing. We've got to get back to the serious business of fulfilling the Great Commission. We're going to have a time of response. All men are created by the same God. All men are related by the same parents. All men are saved by the same gospel. Listen, this is on the hearts of people. Just this week, it came up to my wife, one of our neighbors that we've never met, and she came up and she said, I just want to introduce myself, and I feel the need to because I'm a black woman. And she said, I know what's going on in our community, and I just want you to know who I am, and I want us to be friends. See, it might not be on your mind as much as it is some other people's, but it's on their hearts and minds. So let's take the gospel of Jesus to people and let them know, hey, this is what I believe. I want you to know I love you, care about you, and I care so much about you. I want to share the most important message you'll ever hear. Let's make sure that our community knows where we stand as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful to pastor a church that has arms wide open to welcome anyone from our community into our midst. That blesses this pastor's heart. I'm going to open up this time. You can come forward. You can spread out. You can pray. You can kneel where you are to pray. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're here or you're online, the Bible tells us all you have to do is to be willing to admit to God you're a sinner, turn from your sin, ask for His forgiveness, and place your trust in Jesus Christ. Commit to follow Him. You can even text the word decision if you're watching online to the number at the bottom of the screen, and we will do our best to touch base with you as quickly as possible because we want to help you in your steps to follow God. Whatever God's doing in our hearts this morning, would you please stand? I want to pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be back together, and thank you for your word, God, which is crystal clear on what it means to be made in the image of God. We are all equal. We are all related. We are all condemned men in need of your grace and your mercy. None of us are better than the other. God, I pray that that message is just with me in a realer sense as I go about from this day moving forward into this week. And I pray it's on all of our hearts. And God, that we will be willing to do what is needed most, to pray and to share the gospel so that we can see our country coming together through true changes of heart in the lives of men as you work. God, we love you. Draw us close. Your work this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. What do you need to do? Will you come this morning? I'm available. We have counselors who are available, who are willing to help you in any way that you need spiritual counsel. We'll show you what it looks like to take steps in following Jesus Christ. Would you please come?